Thank you. Today we talk about autosecond Porsches for probing two electron dynamics in the Pi domain. This picture just shows the Kansas farmer supporting autosecond physics. In our community now, we all want to. Talk about, you know, how to make movies of the microscopic event. I will make comment about this called movies. Of course, all the movies are made by the directors, and director decide what you want to see. And you see, in this case, even in microscopic event, you know, what you see really depends on how you see it. Now, in this autosecond process, our goal is to look for the electronic motion. And of course, we all know that time scale is typically, you know, in the order of autoseconds. So to probe electronic motion in the time domain, first you have to create electron wave packet. So you can have, you know, a time-dependent, you know, wave functions. Now, for particularly simple situation, you can create a single electron wave packet. You know, this is typical people study. In the so-called readable atoms, Bob Jones and the collaborators, that work on those counts, this is a single electron wave packet. There, the time scale is typical in the order of picoseconds, and the, I think the technology is such a way that you can even design the wave packet to the way you want it. You can have localization in the angles or in the radio. So these are well-studied, you know, single electron wave packet. When you want to talk about autosecond physics, particularly we talk about two electron dynamics and more, then you have to look at multi-electron wave packets. And that is the top, the goal of, you know, this particular, you know, presentation here. So the point is we want to probe the electron-electron interaction dynamics in the time domain. And the question is how we're going to do it and how we're going to understand that. Well, this is the simplest helium atom in our schematic energy spectra. Here's ground state energy, and you pump about 20 eV, you get the signal size state like 1s2s or 1s2p, and then at about 24 eV, you get the single ionization, but around 60 eV, you can create so-called Dalvik size state, and Dalvik size state can have different kind of thresholds. Up to about 80 eV, you can kick both electrons out. Now remember, our goal here is to look at two electron dynamics. But in the case of understanding atoms, we usually use the so-called Hartree-Fock picture, where it's each electron is kind of orbit around, you know, a single orbitals. And in this case, we are basically viewing the electrons are independent. So now how you talk about electron-electron interaction dynamics? That, of course, means you have to go beyond that. And of course, there are pictures talking about, you know, how to make a correction to this type of simple model using configuration induction and so on, but these are tend to be these corrections. In the molecules, of course, we always deal with corrective motion, rotational motion of the whole molecule, the vibration of the two atoms, and in the nuclear separation, for example, in a stretching mode. So these are the typical, you know, mode that you do in the case of molecules. Well, no matter what you do, you always, to the time-dependent, you know, behavior, you always have to create wave packet first. So let me start with, suppose we create a wave packet. Later on, you would like to be able to create the wave packet any way you want, but that is later on. The question I want to address here is, once you have the wave packet, how do you probe it? You know, when you want to probe a wave packet, ideally you don't want to perturb the system too much. Otherwise you change the whole thing. So the idea of doing, you know, a probe, usually you want to see, you can do a weak perturbation. Hopefully what you see at the end in your signal, you know, is a good representation of your initial state. And the goal, of course, every time you do a perturbation, you change the system. And then, of course, your question is not try to see the whole thing, but hopefully what you see is more, can preserve, you know, most of the original, you know, initial state. So let me start with a simple wave packet made of single size state, which I think is very easy to understand. Here, suppose I create a wave packet consisted of 1s square and 1s 2s single state. State at t equals 0, they have equal, you know, population. And of course, you can see at t equals 0, you calculate the radio wave function. Of course, you know, you can get that one, and you know, at a different time t. Now, incidentally, this energy difference is 20.6 eV. You know, typically, a typical two-state model is two-wave function. I mean, it's two system. This system will oscillate with a frequency about 200 autoseconds. Now, at the a quarter period and at different and a half period, you can actually calculate the wave function. And we tend to think this is a real thing. Well, except we don't know how to see that. This after all is not what you're going to see in the experiment. Well, here I say, suppose you use a 95 EV 100 autosecond pulse to probe, to double ionize this particular wave packet. And then you measure the total ionization yield as a function of the time. But I say you expect the ionization probability to oscillate with this period. I say, okay, you know, what are you to learn? Maybe that body knows that will be the beating frequency. The beam physics include in this one is, well, yes, you will oscillate with this period T. But you can see, in this case, T equals 0. You got a maximum probability of double ionization. Because I use a very hard photon to double ionize it, that means, you know, these two electrons actually can be ionized when they are close to the nucleus. So you can see this picture here really actually mimic the wave function in the small r region. Because at t equals 0, you got a maximum, t equals quarter period, you know, it's smaller, and then t equals 2, you know, it's smallest. And this will be oscillate. So of course, in this case, to see this wave packet, you need a theoretical help to know what you actually probe. That's not the whole story. Because after all, what you want to see is the two electrons all together. So how you present that thing? Well, in this case, it's very simple. So I explain to you a little bit what this picture says. In fact, all this says is that in this is representing, you know, the same wave packet in a different way. But in this way, actually, now I'm plotting two electron wave functions in some sort. Now you can see in this case, in this particular angle theta 1, 2, the angle between the two electrons with respect to the nucleus does not change with time. But you can see in this particular dimension, you can see the change of time with time. What it means is that there are more than 1 degree of freedom in the two electron system. In fact, we know if you have two electrons, forget about the spin, you have 6 degree of freedom. And that's what we are trying to probe. Okay? So ideally, you want to see this particular two electron wave packet, you have to measure a 6-dimensional space. What you need to do is you have to double ionize. Then you measure the momentum of each electron. Then you have 6-dimensional momentum space, you know, probability distribution, and then you try to see what's inside there. Okay, so I will show you one example. If you create wave packet not out of the single size state, but in the so-called double excited state region, then you're going to see something different. I hope you remember the picture I showed you earlier, this one. Now you can see, suppose I create a wave packet out of 2s squared and 2p squared single s. This will be the kind of time dependence picture in the momentum space of this wave packet. Now, as I say, this only have 2 degree of freedom written here. So I imply I already average over a few other degrees of freedom. But clearly, you can see this wave packet is time evolution is definitely different from the other one I showed you earlier made out of single size state. Okay, so what are these about? Well, if you have a coherent double excited state of helium atom, there are other degrees of freedom. So then go back to the question, how you describe double excited state. Once you know how to describe double excited state in atoms, Then we can make a wave packet of it, and then we can see this kind of different degree of freedom. Well, this is your favorite configuration interaction wave function for so-called 3S squared single S, the shell model picture. But we do know in this case, their configuration interaction is very strong. So you can calculate those wave function. Now this coefficient depends on the basis set. So the configuration interaction coefficient has no meaning. Now, you will be surprised why I write wave function in this form. Well, I will show you all these different wave functions. They have a certain degree of similarity. So now I want to tell you this wave function in principle is six dimensional. But I will show you in 2 degrees of freedom, they are very similar. So after all, how many of you have seen six dimensional wave function? So in your computer, you never show it. So I show you in 2 dimensions. Now you can see all this wave function looks very similar. All those wave functions I showed you earlier. So what I'm showing here, instead of using the standard coordinate, I use a quantity called hyperradius. That is the average size of the atom. There's an angle, relative angle, which is angle alpha, which is measured the relative distance between the 2 electrons from the nucleus. And the theta 1, 2 is the angle between the 2 electrons with respect to the nucleus. So what this picture says is you have a maxima at the theta 1, 2 equals pi. Alpha equals 45 degrees. So all this double excited state I show you there, even though the CI coefficient looks very different, imply these 2 electrons are 180 degrees from each other, about the same distance from the nucleus. So this is a ground state of a group of rotational vibrational state. So for helium atom, if you look at energy level, you look at all the so-called n equals 3, each electron in n equals 3 manifold, you can see you group this in, you have a kind of rotational energy structure. That's what I showed you earlier. This is like, you can see, energy difference is like a linear regular rotor, rotational level. Along this way is a vibration energy. So the molecule can have vibrational motion, but also have rotational motion. Now the difference between atom and molecule is, in the case of molecule, the energy difference scale between rotation and vibration are very different. Typical of order, maybe a factor 100 to 1000. But in atoms, rotation and vibration energy level, so-called excitation, about typical the same. So you always talk about rotation and vibration together, so-called vibrational motion. So with this, I hope I can show you, come back to talk about how we want to see this electron dynamics. So in this picture, you can actually say, you can write down a 2-electron wave function more or less like you have in the molecules. You have rotational motion, you have bending vibration, stretching motion, and R is just the bridging motion. So now we put the 2-electron wave function in a collective mode, and we identify each degree of freedom. So now I told you we're going to start with 2S squared single S, 2B squared single X. If you do the CI calculation, in fact there you can see those coefficients. So this state actually, you can see it's the one similar to the one I showed you earlier. Actually this in angle theta 1, 2, there's no node. The 2p squared single s actually is excited in angle 0 and 2. You can see this is 0 in there. So these are the kind of ground state, and this will be the excited state of the bending vibration. So you know, if I create a linear wave packet consisting of these two states, I want to have a vibrational motion of the 2 electron. Okay, so we do that. I will show you also later on, I will have a wave packet which is made out of include component of 2p squared single d. And in this case, you can see the theta 1, 2 dependence is the same as this one, but this guy has 2 units of angular momentum. So this guy, the difference between these two is in the rotational part. Of course, you have 2 units of angular momentum. The difference between this guy and this guy is in the vibrational motion. Their rotational part is the same, this part, their vibration is different. So now I'm going to create a wave packet consisting of the first one. That is, suppose I create a wave packet like a 2a squared single s plus 2p squared single d, single s at t equals 0 equal population. Now, of course, this wave packet again will have this oscillation with the typical period of the energy difference between the two. And that is about 980 autoseconds. So you can actually calculate the wave function, and then you calculate the typical theta 1, 2 of this wave packet as functional time. You can see at t equals 0 is almost a constant in theta 1, 2, t equal quarter of 4, quarter of t, and so on. At the t equals half period, you got a maxima in small theta 1, 2. Now, here I'm presenting the wave function in the momentum space. So, it's not in the coordinate space. So the two electrons are, when in coordinate space, when they are on opposite side, actually in momentum space, they are in parallel direction because they are this kind of motion. So this is a wave packet you expect, you create, you assume you have. Well, then how you probe it? Again, I say you use a 200 autosecond, about this much energy to double ionize it. So you create a wave packet, you have a double ionization probability. You measure the K1 and K2 of both electrons, and that's a six-dimensional beast. Well, you average over all the other degrees of freedom. You just present the functional theta 1, 2. This is what you're going to see in your signal. And you can see in this case, it does have a reasonable resemblance to your initial state. So in this way, actually this is a very nice picture in the sense your initial state and the final state, and your final state, mimic the product of your measurement will be mimic, the initial state. Well, you can do this for other combination. Well, just a technical detail about how you do. A typical autosecond pulse order, 10 to the 12. And we use first order perturbation theory. We don't want to use too strong to distort the system too much. And the initial state are CR wave function, final state are two parallel Coulomb wave functions. Some thing, more detail can be talked about this thing, but at this moment, that's how we do. And all this analysis has been done in hypospherical coordinate. You use the independent particle coordinate, you don't see this pattern. Okay, so this is the one I showed you earlier. Now, this is just, take a picture at different time frames. So this is two electron density in momentum space, and this is what, at a particular time, what you're supposed to see in the double ionization signal. Okay, you can do a wave packet consist of single S and single D. In this case, this is rotation excised. This is the simplest rotational wave packet. And in principle, if you look at your wave function, it should oscillate like this. Well, again, you do double ionization the same process I had before. And from the double ionization signal, you reconstruct, the ionization ear in this particular coordinate. You can see in this case, the similarity is not as good. It's just because, your probe in this case, you kind of, introduce additional, factor into, into the system. So you still have a little bit of similarity, but, it's not as good, a mimic of the initial state as before. What I'm doing with time, please?
About 14 minutes.
Oh, I'm okay. So, well, that was a simple case. Suppose I was creating, wave pattern consisting of two eigenstate. Of course, if you just measure the total ionization year, it doesn't give you any information. All you see is oscillation. But to see, the wave packet, the time domain wave packet, you really have to, you have to measure, all the six-dimensional, ionization year. So this is just the same thing. Now, suppose you create, a wave packet, which is a little more complicated now. In this case, if you look at a certain, low energy, low time domain, you can see, actually even this wave packet, you still, because the rotational time, is a little longer, so even a wave packet like this, you still, at short time, you still can see the vibrational motion. I forget the vibrational and rotational period here is about 1.8 femtoseconds longer. So at short time, you only see is the vibrational and our behavior. If you go over the longer time to see the rotational motion, of course, you see this distortion. So this just indicates that if you create a different kind of wave packet, you can see, okay, for this example, suppose you create a wave packet consists of this guy and this guy and this guy. This guy, you see, is 2s, 3s. So 2s, 3s means, you know, the outer electron now go to the n equals 3 orbitals. So the hyper radius and the radius is a little different. Okay, the energy between these two and these two in 2s squared and 2s, 3s. So let me first see, you know, what the total double annihilation here if you calculate with such kind of pulse. Well, this is the type of total double annihilation here you are going to see. You see a lot of oscillation, and this oscillation is no more than just, you know, you can actually work out, you know, the different beating, you know, so your oscillation between these two frequencies, the frequency between these two levels, frequency between these two levels, and frequency between those two levels, and of course all the sum and so on, typical, you know, sum and difference frequency, you know, spectra. So this oscillation itself is expected, but where is the maxima, where is the minima, actually tell you a little about the physics, but not as much as the whole, you know, six-dimensional space. So, see, here is the easier one, maybe experimentally will be first possible. All you have to do is measure the total ionization here, that you can easily do, just measure the total ion, you know, instead of the electrons. And you expect to see this type of oscillation. Well, then, if you just do this, to understand what it is, you have to interpret why. So here you can see, this is the average of the radius, hyper radius of this wave packet. This radius of wave packet also oscillates like this. So you can see the maximum probability of double ionization corresponding to the minima in hyper radius R, which is obvious, right? You know, double ionization occur when, you know, the two electrons are close to each other. But that's quantitative, we can understand that. You can see the state of 1-2 dependence, you know, of this wave packet, you can calculate. Well, the maxima occur when the state of 1-2 is large. That means when the two electrons, you know, are relatively at a larger angle. But it doesn't affect the double ionization here as strongly as the average radius are. So this is, you know, the bridging motion period for 2s squared and 2s 3s is 0.7 femtosecond, and for this vibration motion is 0.9 femtosecond. So you are having an example where all the different time scales are very comparable. But again, this is very simple. The energy difference between here and here is about 4 eV. I don't know, here maybe just 5 or 6 eV. So these are just okay, so up to now, what I have shown you is the main feature of two-electron dynamics in the time domain. The corridor motions can be described in terms of stretching mode, bending vibration mode, and rotational mode. I give you some indication what they are. Special wave packet may reveal the time dependence on all these modes only. But I emphasize special. So it means you have to create designer's wave packet, you know, to see that behavior. In general, it will be a linear combination of all them. Double ionization of such a wave packet may reveal main feature of the time dependence of such wave packet. You know, so we need to do double ionization to see, you know, the detail of this multidimensional wave packet. Visualization of such time dependence from the momentum spectra of two electrons requires special sampling of experiment data. You measure this double ionization as a function of the momentum of each electron. That is your raw data. You cannot see easily, but I tell you, you know, in this way, you can do different kind of sampling, so you can actually show your data on a graph, and you can visualize it. And that is, you know, the main thing, you know, I want to emphasize, this part actually is very critical. Okay, so this is just the one I talked to you earlier, just about the probe. You know, the idea is you want to use a short and a weak pulse, hopefully you don't distort the whole thing. But once the two electrons goes out, you cannot avoid the fact that two electrons will see, you know, the ion core and electron, the so-called final state interaction always come into play. And this is always a problem we had to deal with. You know, in the tomography or whatever, you want to probe the initial state. In general, it's not possible. You know, you may try to see, you get as close as possible, but in principle, it's not possible. Because every time you do a measurement, you perturb something. Okay, so how do you create the wave packet of, you know, some desired property? Basically what you're saying is we're going to create a particular type of, you know, wave packet. You know, how you do that in general, I don't know. You know, people in Rydberg atom, you know, they have a way to do it, but I don't know, you know, how to apply to this situation. So in general, I don't know how to do that. But the example I showed you earlier, there's some possibilities. Not easy, but in principle can be done. So here's an example. Suppose I can create helium from ground state to 1s2p. Well, you say that's hard. You can actually use nanosecond type, you know, laser to create about 10% of helium atom in 1s2p state. Has been done already. So suppose you have already in a 1s2p state. Then you absorb one photon. I will give the parameter later on. Then you can actually show you can create a, you know, double size state with this type of typical probability. So you can actually almost only populate those three states. If you have, you know, a pulse, two autosecond pulse, you know, overlay to a little bit such that you know, you have, you know, a kind of a double hump pulse in energy in the energy domain, you can actually primarily, you know, populate to a square and to be square single S only. So this is actually two double size state actually can be created, you know, from such a pulse, which I talk about in a second. Now suppose you create such a wave packet. So now this is really a pump pro experiment. So I create, you know, I will tell you the parameter, you know, autosecond pulse. I create you know, a wave packet, and then later on I use another autosecond pulse to probe, and I calculate and I measure the double ionization yield of those two electrons, and then I just pull out, you know, the theta 1-2 dependence of the total yield. In this case, this will be the typical, you know, ionization signal looks like, and for this case, this will be what it looks like. Okay, so what are the parameters? So give you an example. So in the case of double pulse experiment, we use a 38 eV, about 280 autosecond pulse with this intensity. With the probe, we use you know, this energy and about typical, you know, the pulse intensity intensity and the width. So this, as I said, this is the first part will give you something like this. But you do the whole thing together, and from the double ionization, this is the type of, you know, ionization probability you're going to get. We are talking about probability of 10 to the minus 8. Pretty small. For this guy, again, you know, these are the, well, I didn't write on the parameter there. Okay. So, when you have, you can have a rich physics to be explored by creating two electron wave packets. And that's what you want to do when you deal with electron-electron interaction dynamics. Such dynamics should be probed with double ionization. This will be a six-dimensional momentum spectra of the two electrons. This one, I believe, is not too difficult if we have a signal, because all the typical quantum experiments, you know, they can measure, you know, the momentum of, you know, a few charged particles without too much difficulty. But the analysis of the data actually is a bit challenging. Okay, I don't quite think that this experiment can be done yet, but that's what the challenge to the experimentalist. But I should show you, you know, what is typical for yield. We can change some of the parameter to increase the yield, but you know, this is the thing we have to deal with. Measure total ionization probability in this experiment, you know, pump just total ionization probability is easier. But interpretation, you need to have theoretical simulation. That means if you really want to do the kind of experiment, you have to do experiment and a theory all together, so try to interpret. Okay, so back to, so this part was just for the double size day in this region. Now, if you go up in energy of the helium, you know, actually you could go into certain region, you know, for people in the field, you know, you have the so-called overlapping resonances. Those are resonance in region where in the energy domain measurement, you have resonance which decay very fast, and some other state which decay very slow. And in the energy domain measurement, you cannot separate them. So they end up with kind of overlapping resonance. But you can see clearly, if you do the time domain measurement, you can separate them. And this is also going to the so-called region, you know, everybody heard that these helium atoms supposed to be classical chaotic. When you go to so-called quantum chaos region, what is the quantum chaos meaning in the time domain? All these things, you know, has to be explored, hopefully, in the future. You can go on into even the double ionization region. You can kick one electron with a high photon energy. And this question talked about by Franz Krauss yesterday. You want to see what happened to the, you know, does this outgoing electron really, you know, perturb, you know, the excitation of the ionization of the other electron? Well, in principle, you can do a kind of pump probe experiment as well. Okay, so there will be a possibility of a lot of, you know, investigation on problem or questions which cannot be resolved or understood, you know, in terms of energy domain measurement. But this is really the way I see you have to do in order to understand how the two electron dynamics evolve in time. You have to look at both electrons. You cannot just do one of them. So back to my original question. Everybody want to take movies of something. As I told you, movie depends on the director. So this picture is probably similar to what you saw earlier. Well, this one is a little not so good resolution. This is not too bad. It's the get a little picture. This is some kind of farm. Maybe, you know, you don't see the sky and so on. Of course, we all agree this is better. And even with us, I think, you know, this is, we tend to think this is a real thing, but again, it's because I show you the picture, you know. Somebody take a different picture will be different. Thank you very much.
I found this really interesting, but there was one thing I wasn't quite clear about. The auto-ionizing rates of these particular states that form components of the superposition, are they much longer than
these? They are longer. They are typical of order, and in this case, I think one is about 5 femtoseconds and another 17 femtoseconds,
okay.
Something like that.
So this is
we can include that effect into the theory, it's no problem.
Okay, in those curves you showed it wasn't included? Or
not included. Well, so I don't remember. We probably include in, but it's minor effect.
Okay, but you just expect a slow damping.
Yeah, you will see that we start, you know, grow, you know, but that here is emphasize the qualitative aspect, how to understand. But precise calculation, as I to emphasize, we have to know what experiments we want to do and we'll do the whole thing. Yeah.
Xidong, I did not really understand whether you included now final state interaction for the relative angle between the two electrons or not.
Okay, you're asking a technical question. The question is how I describe the two electrons in the continuum.
Yes.
Okay, I tell you, this is not a full calculation because nobody really knows how to write down the two electron wave function in the continuum exactly. So what we have done here, we are treating as two electrons. Each electron is represented by anti-symmetrized product of Coulomb functions. In the earlier calculation, we tried to publish a paper. We believe it doesn't matter. The features to be there. We use plane wave that was rejected by the referees. Okay, well, you know, the NRC people can do plane wave, but we cannot do plane wave. Sorry. So we did that, but in fact, the major feature doesn't change much in this case.
Okay, just a comment. In this particular case, the charge particle community was, I guess, 20 years ahead of the laser community in creating a pump probe scheme to excite on an attosecond scale some of those collective excitations. In fact, the one which was not on your list, that was the collective dipole oscillation, that is the coherent superposition of 2s2p and 2p squared. And there the trick is that the excitation or the pump happens in a relatively fast ion atom collision, which sets the T equals zero. And due to the fact that the Auger or the auto-ionization decay happens at the time when the charged particle, the projectile, is still around, you get a time-dependent energy shift, which is nothing but streaking in modern technology. And therefore, by looking at the streaking image, one could actually map out that oscillation of the 2sp, 2p squared collective dipole oscillation of this two electron system.
Yeah, I agree that this statement is there's nothing new under the sun anymore these days.
Anything else? Okay, let's thank Qidong again.